You're listening to Fight Back on WCRS FM 98.3 and 102.1. I'm Bob Fitrakis, your host, and we've got Thomas Lee in the studio with the Ohio Student Association. He's the statewide student coordinator, and we'll let him explain that to you. But it may be long overdue for a real student association, perhaps a student union in the Buckeye State. What's happening, Thomas?
Well, what the Ohio Student Association is an organization that seeks to connect progressive student groups around the state so that we can be more effective in our fights, because we really believe that our fights are really all part of one fight. The OSA is a very new organization. We came together in January. We had our first Ohio Youth Congress, in which we had about 100 leaders from around the state come to Columbus, where we essentially decided we would exist. Our membership is made up of about 9 different schools and seeking to expand, not to mention many different interests and political persuasions, I guess you'd say.
Why now? I mean, I associate student associations with the 60s, the 70s. There really haven't been a lot of activities going on the last 30 years. Sort of coordinating with Ronald Reagan and deregulation, and as a result of that, less and less money from the state going into education. Why are you forming this organization at this point in history?
Well, we feel that higher education is sort of at a make or break moment. I mean, you've seen, especially in this state, a pretty radical right-wing agenda being pushed through. Privatization is coming in the form of the Enterprise University Bill to our university system, not to mention the fact, as you said, state funding has become less and less, and while you see our universities looking to corporate partnerships, simply raising tuition, finding all sorts of other ways to fund, you know, their activities, which have really sort of taken away from the focus on education, as you might imagine.
Well, when I hear about, you know, these enterprise universities, in one sense they appear to me to be more like corporatized universities. I mean, these aren't enterprise, small entrepreneur. My understanding is they'll get less state money and less state oversight, allowing the corporations, and I mean the large multinational corporations, to come in and partner with these, which would seem like at the expense of the stakeholders, the community, the students, the employees. What's your take on that?
I think you really hit the nail on the head there. What the Enterprise University Plan will do is to partially privatize aspects, and it's really just one step in a process which has been happening for quite some time. You see today that education is not the highest priority in our university system. Much of the money which comes in comes from grants to sort of the hard sciences, which do come from the corporate world. And how this affects the school at large is you see less money towards sort of the humanities, much less money for anything that might question the source of this money, for obvious reasons. And you also see, in general, across the board in all subjects, a shift from a focus on educating the students towards producing research, not for the sake of knowledge, but producing research which will turn a profit for the corporations which backed that grant initially. There's lots of systemic problems that come out of this. You can see grade inflation. You can see rise in tuition. and a general drifting away from the way our university system actually operates and many of their mission statements and charters, which, of course, intended the institutions to be ones which bettered society at large and educated people.
Yeah, a lot of interesting points there. The Ohio State, but it used to be Ohio State. Part of that, the Ohio State, with its corporatization, it's moving away from a land-grant mission. It's not for all high school students anymore. It's become an elite university like the University of Michigan, or Madison, or Berkeley. And there's a question of what's driving these universities. But what I've noticed is part of the trend, Ohio State used to, university used to have a tremendous film program, and it did some films that were critical of the university, and it did a hidden history, you know, of the largest student riots in American history occurred at OSU just prior to Kent State. Mm-hmm. So they did a really nice, you know, half-hour film. And then it was, let's get rid of the film department. And then they used to have the single best investigative journalism program probably in the country, the Kiplinger program. And their students would do these incredible investigative pieces as part of their masters. I mean, really, it was better than anything that was going on in the country. They got rid of that, and they turned the undergraduate journalism department essentially into corporate PR. Mm-hmm. Is that instead of doing investigative journalism, which I've done some of, and the Free Press is associated, now it's how to be a mouthpiece for essentially corporations. Should that be a concern to students?
It's a tremendous concern, and I know a lot of the things you brought up I was not aware of. A lot of our student history is not taught to us. Recently, you've seen a lot more interest in what happened during the 70s at OSU. And people are acutely aware of the fact that sort of that culture of critical thinking has been lost amongst, you know, football and drinking. And, you know, I like football just like anyone else. Now, a few things, you know, maybe not to be so depressed about. Critical journalism is alive and well at Ohio State. There is a new independent newspaper. It's actually online only, thepulsemag.org. You should indeed check it out. And that is focused on really bringing a critical eye to a lot of university issues as well as larger issues. We've had quite a bit of a resurgence in sort of the activist spirit lately. I think I can attribute it to events around the world, in some ways the Occupy movement, in many ways the mobilization against SB5. And students are aware of what happened in the 70s, and it's very interesting to see that history and that become a point of OSU pride. After the 70s, when there was the huge riots and the students threw bricks from the Oval at the National Guard, and this is all, I guess, in the wake of Kent, the school had paved over the bricks. Now, an interesting point, a few years ago, they pulled that pavement up. So the bricks are there again. And it's sort of a statement by the powers that be that, you know, they feel successful in the docileness of the youth. They don't feel a threat from college students anymore. And we kind of find that interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and you're talking about those bricks, because the OSU riots were just prior to the Kent State, and also right after Kent State, the school was closed for like 12 days as National Guards were on the campus. But one of the good things about the film I was talking about, and there was a tremendous campaign to save the film department, a campaign called We Won't Fade to Black, is that what they did is they went and got the Red Squad files from the Ohio State Troopers, and other agencies, which had filmed the whole thing, and two out of the four people that started the riot were actually undercover police officers. And the police themselves, the Columbus police, were standing by in riot gear to attack the students. You used to be able to drive through the campus, and they had all this old footage on Neal Avenue. So four people got this idea that, let's chain the gate shut. Two were cops. So some other people gathered to do that, and then the police were already waiting for them. And one of the things you get from the film is that it was one of the few riots that the fraternities actually participated in against the police, because the police were indiscriminately tear gassing everyone, including they went down Fraternity Row and lobbed tear gas into frat houses. So you're inside recovering from a perfectly good kegger or a panty raid, and suddenly your frat house is tear gas. So you really had, you know, activists, hippies, yippies, politicals with fraternities all against the police.
You know, they... all that student history, which is just, for the most part, not known amongst young people, is just so interesting. And I would really love to get a hold of that video and the film and show it sometime. I know there was a similar film at OU that a SDS organization tried to show, and the current administration and the library administration would not let them get it because they didn't want it to be damaged. But they wouldn't convert it to DVD, so it was being kept in the library for the sake of no one to ever see it, I guess.
And a archival piece that need not be shown. That sounds like that goes back to the Berkeley Free Speech Movement. So there is a question of, you know, at what moment are we in history? I mean, prior to, you know, the fall of 64, when In Loco Parentis was challenged, students who are 18, 19, and 20 had absolutely no rights on college campus. There's been talk that OSU seems to he's going to force students back into student housing, you know, all freshmen, all sophomore, these residency requirements, and they're going to have more say in the area. That's the city of Columbus. Also, they're acting OSU through the medical school seems to be directing what the east side of Columbus will look like. Is your student organization concerned with what goes on off campus as well as on campus?
We certainly are. We see, and I want to also elaborate, that the OSA is a statewide organization. I'm talking a lot about OSU. I'm centered in Columbus. I work from Columbus. I went to OSU, but we are active in many different universities. But yes, the OSU community is certainly concerned with some of the things that are happening in the east side, the way the university is dealing with the outside community.
I think the historically black community.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of concern that whereas a university should be a institution which might push and find new ways to do things, that this development in the east side might just be gentrification as usual, solve problems by pushing people out. And I say solve with a lot of cynicism there. As far as to what you spoke about before with moving sophomores and forcing them to stay inside of dorms, we see it as what it is. I mean, in my opinion, it's nothing but a blatant money grab. It's very expensive to live in the dorms. And It's just simply saying we need to build more buildings, we need to get more revenue, have more people on meal plans. And even if you I think the justification for that policy is that people get better grades in dorms. Well, maybe so, but college is a transitionary time for people as they become adults. Ideally, they're already adults, but I mean, it's not always that way. Now, I wonder what the effect of only being, you know, outside of a sort of supervised environment for 2 years, when then you enter the real job force and move away.
And we can ask those questions. You're listening to WCRS-FM 98.3 and 102.1. 101.1. It's Bob Fitrakis. We're on Fight Back. I'm talking to Thomas Lee of the Ohio Student Association. And that's a good question. You know, what if studies indicated that if you lived in the dorm 2 years or 3 years, you were far more likely to end up living with your parents again, and be less innovative and less creative and not be able to be as resilient as maybe the students who lived independently off campus. And those are the things that have to be looked at as well. And maybe the university won't be looking at them if their stake is in. They have a money interest in the dorms. Mm-hmm. What are the other colleges that are in the association? We focused on OSU. You've mentioned OU. What are the other seven?
Well, like I said, the association is rapidly growing and looking to grow. Right now, because we are brand new, almost less than a month old, our core centers of activity are Ohio University in Athens and Ohio State in Columbus. We have students involved at Wright State in Dayton, Miami University, Cincinnati, Shawnee State in Portsmouth, where else? Columbus State, Capital. I wonder if I'm leaving anyone else. Bowling Green. We're looking to move into Kent. We are in contact with some great students there.
What about the Cleveland area? Are you operating Cleveland or Toledo yet?
Well, sadly, with our Ohio Youth Congress, there was a big snowstorm that day. So our contingent from Wright State slowed down. We do have students at Cleveland State. And really the way we see it is that there is a need to organize everyone right now. Regular folks are facing an attack that's sort of unprecedented. And we fully intend to be in every college in the state of Ohio. Akron, Toledo, Kent State, private schools, Oberlin, Kenyon. So we're sort of in the process of that.
How would you explain Capital being your only private school on that list?
Well, Capital is right now, and our presence at Capital is not as large as some of the other ones would be, but we are in contact with people at Oberlin. We are concerned with private schools. I mean, it's part of society as well.
And Oberlin, a historically progressive school.
Very much so, very much so. As well as Denison, Kenyon. I mean, these are places that are going to be a part of the fight. Really, the way we see our sort of role in this is not that, you know, students themselves are facing some particular threat. It's that students are affected by the threat that everyone is affected by, and that we need, if we're going to sort of hold on and try to improve our stake in society, to organize everyone.
Is there any possible conflict between, I mean, Kenyon's a very elite university. You might even have some of the 1% children going there. I mean, great college. Historically, a very progressive college. It's sort of, do they have the same interest as, say, students at Columbus State?
Well, you can always make the point that there are different interests across all sorts of our schools. I mean, even, you point out Kenyon and Columbus State, but the difference between Columbus State and Ohio State they're very obvious, and I think that's a huge failure of the system. You can see where these public schools like Ohio State are really more, you know, schools for the upper middle class,
sure,
the upper class. So I'd say you might have some 1%ers there. Now, as far as interest goes, I think that even students who might come from a wealthy background can understand what's right and wrong, and some that aren't even from a wealthy background might, you know, be siding with the 1%. Sadly, that's the truth. But I know that we are going to be able to craft a message which appeals to all people, and I think at the heart of it, everyone understands that we need money out of government, and the high tuition, the consolidation of power in our universities. These are all symptoms of the corruption which is affecting the government at large, state, federal, all levels.
Now, this is the Ohio Student Association. I just read an article on the University of Washington where a third of the students there are foreign nationals because of the amount of tuition they pay. That essentially, you're the 25% of the students now at Washington are going on scholarship, but they're really the best and the brightest in the state who appears to be being squeezed out are good students from Washington, you know, that you know, aren't in the top 5-10% of their class, might be in the top quarter of the class, but it doesn't seem like they're wanted at what's now become an elite school, but also an elite school that essentially is bringing in a lot of Chinese nationals because they can afford to pay out-of-state tuition. And also, as a source of revenue, as the revenue dries up from the state, they appear to be getting revenue from India and China to support an elite model of a public university. Any possible problems with that in Ohio?
Well, I can't speak to the specifics of that. I would say that what certainly is a problem is that higher education is not accessible to all Ohioans. It is simply too expensive, and it is not considered any longer a priority of the universities to make sure that you are educating large numbers of Ohioans. You know, and I don't think that it comes at the I don't think that's because of the large amount of foreign-born students. I think that, you know, having international voices is a great thing, and it contributes to that learning. But I do agree that sort of the shift towards rising tuition and seeing seeing your student population as a market, as someone buying something from you instead of someone instead of the building blocks of society who are trying to educate and empower is a huge issue.
It does seem, though, that Ohio State is marketing itself more as an elite kind of public Ivy than it ever has in its history. I mean, when I first came to, Columbus in the, 1987, it was sort of, if you had a high school diploma, 2.0, you could go to Ohio State University. Pretty much the same at Michigan State. Right? They were land-grant universities. I don't get any of that now. It's sort of like, unless you have a 3.6 or higher, and it doesn't bother me. I'm down at Columbus State. It's almost like, why don't you go to the community college, because this is reserved for only our elite students. And there really hasn't been a public discussion on that. It's just been assumed that this model of an elite public education and increasingly a corporatized version of it is the future.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting about what you just said is that going to the school, you'll find that people can get through Ohio State and not learn much. You can graduate from Ohio State and sort of, taking it easy the whole time, partying every night. Now, you can learn a whole lot. There's some great professors there. But I think the point you're really getting at is that the prestige is to sell the school. It's not really based in the education that's being demanded of the students. I'm not saying you can't get it there. I think I did get a great education there. And I think while the focus needs to be on getting everyone to school, like you said, we shouldn't see it as Columbus State is for the average student and Ohio State is for the great student, but that every student deserves a great education. So I think that sort of this posturing, which is ultimately based around, the fallacy that this school only produces geniuses. It's definitely it's rooted in the cause. It's rooted in the decision makers not being accountable to the students, not being accountable to the public, not being accountable to their own faculty. We've got a lot of big issues there. I mean, who are the trustees at Ohio State? They're political appointees. We just got to be honest. And do they necessarily have a background in education? Some might, but they don't have to. Something we like to sort of say is that, you know, you don't need a lifetime of experience to make bad decisions. We think that students as shareholders should have a proportional say in what happens. We think that the student trustees, which exist now, should be democratically elected, which they are not. They should have full voting rights, and there should be more of them. It should correlate with the stake which is held by students in the university. And I know this is sort of getting away from your question, which was, should we discuss Ohio State being a premier school? And I think that the education offered at all of our schools should be premier. But I don't think doing it at the expense of the students and the people, which the school was initially founded to serve, is the right way to do it.
I've always been concerned as well, except for a brief period. I mean, Columbus State has more than 30,000 students and no student newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Are those issues that students should be concerned with?
Certainly, certainly. We are very excited to begin organizing at Columbus State. There is no reason that students at community colleges shouldn't have the same extracurricular opportunities that those at a traditional four-year have. I think that in many ways you talk about the 1%, the 99%. The original mission of schools like of the state university system is best represented in some of our community colleges, where you see everyday people have a real chance to get an education. I think that's a huge issue. Students need to have their voice. Everyday people need to have their voice. And it mirrors society at large, where you can see that there are less and less community news organizations, consolidation in the news industry in general is a huge problem. And you can see, you know, the terrible effects it's had on our democracy. So, that's a big deal.
Also, with that funding model from the state, it really looks like there's an emphasis on getting students out, success rate, you know, it's sort of C or higher. There doesn't seem to be much on critical thinking, creativity, a lot of stuff historically we've associated with, going to college to search for truth and in knowledge. And often it's sort of, here are the four core courses. Mm-hmm. They're trying to create this statewide system. Should we be concerned about that?
Certainly. I think education can be, you know, it can be a tool which trains people to think critically and look at the world in ways which then inspire them to change it for the better. Or it can be a tool which, you know, socializes them into the status quo. I think our university system has drifted far too far to the latter, and it's not at all desirable. We believe that by instituting democratic controls and democratic decision-making process, where faculty, students, and, you know, pretty much everyone who's got a stake in this, even the community, has a voice in what happens, you will see the education offered at our universities return to the sort of more true model. And
how can they get in touch with your organization?
Well, you can find us online. I would check out first our big event, the March 1st rally at the Oval, 3 p.m. on March 1st. And you can check out the website for that, march1ohio.org. You can contact us. We are on Facebook at the Ohio Student Association. You can find that event. I would just say, come to that event, see what we're about. Our slogan is, education is a right, and we truly believe that. And it's going to take an outpouring from all people to make that happen.
Thanks, Thomas Lee of the Ohio Student Association.
Thanks for having me.